Zally, not Dave at all. Okay, Zally. Zally hadn't seen it, and Fain had given him the article. Okay, I'm sorry about that. I was just working for the name. Sam's reaction was to write a long letter to the Daily Illini about how wretchedly the whole thing was being covered, and apparently he threw the letter out after he read my article. But I tried to persuade him that that's not the right activity, that I am alone out here, that we need him. If he was going to write the letter, he should have written the letter. Even better, he should have gone down to the DI to talk to them, and that he should go to Chicago. I didn't win. He's going to go back and be the theoretician on the sidelines. That's, I think, about all I can think of for tonight. It is now 4:30. I'm back in the office, having been home for a quick shower. I'm going to stay here now tonight, and I'm in my sleeping bag and I'm just simply going to stay here near you, tape recorder, so that I can get these things down. First, I want to read into the record what went on at lunch today, because some of this stuff is pertinent. In the first place, at lunch were Norton Long and a gentleman he had with him, and Paula Peters, who is a reporter from the Champaign-Urbana Courier. I sketched to Miss Peters the situation as I knew it. This is before Cam Satterthwaite's intelligence, so I speculated upon who had done the damage. She felt that she had some pretty good information, and she was going to name Steve Jackson, she thought, sometime in the next couple of days in her paper. After we were done sketching the situation, we had a discussion about the policy possibilities. It was Norton Long's opinion. Let me give a couple of statements of Norton's, which I think are pertinent. One, he said, when we talked about Kerner's role and the whole thing last night, that it would not be wise for Chancellor Peltison to have any Democrat wrap his arms around him at this point, particularly in this state, that in fact he ought to look a little bit Republican. So he thought that it was just as well that Kerner hadn't been able to wrap his arms around him. There was some mention later in the day, incidentally, of the very good statement that Shapiro made in a press conference. Apparently he said the university was handling it very well. It was a minority, a very tiny number of students were involved in the action and so on. Norton went on to say, Norton and the other gentleman with him, that really and truly somebody had to be found guilty of this damage. I suggested to them that there were problems with that, since this would cause unrest between the two black communities, and they felt that was the price you had to pay. And it is this point at lunch that I begin to realize that I, who have been saying that I've been going around for several days keeping everybody honest, perhaps haven't really been honest with myself, because I think I have been trying to believe, trying to find evidence for that thesis that it was really only 10 students who did all the smashing and looting. And so now, having given the stimulus, let me go back to 4 a.m. or perhaps 5 a.m. Tuesday in the Black Students Association office where I was interviewing those kids. And now let me try to really work on this in my memory. It seems to me that when I asked about how the crowd had felt, I asked a very general question about what was the general attitude in the crowd. And one of the girls, as I recall, answered, and this is just vague, I don't know what my question was, I think that's what it was. She answered, the crowd really didn't believe in all the smashing, at least not at first, she said, and then she sort of caught herself, as I recall. I mean, this is all very hazy. There was some reason why she stopped, and then it was picked up again. And I wasn't sure whether this hesitation had indicated that really a very few people started the smashing, but really more had joined in or not. So I will have to say that now that doubts are running through my mind, I'm going to have to say that there might have been a hint in what these girls said, that it was really more than just a few students who were involved in it. But I must say that when I put the question to them somewhat directly, just about how many were involved, the answer was fewer than 10, and they were inebriated. Now, the important thing here is that I, of course, I think I was lulled into accepting that, pretty much, by news that Robert McNabb had said a similar thing. This was corroboration. It was two independent people giving the same account, basically, of the situation. Now, what's bothering me is that today, Mr. McNabb apparently is not going to talk. He at least was busy tonight, but I am concerned that he has been he has been called in, because he was quoted in our little flyer on Tuesday and he has been alluded to. It's been pretty obvious to anybody in the administration who knows anything who it was, although he was unnamed in the front page DI article on Wednesday, who said something about his reaction to the Chicago Tribune story. In any event, if it's true that Corker and McNabb are not going to be able to give the eyewitness account of this incident that I thought they were going to be able to give, then it becomes important for me to get to the student whom Cam Satterthwaite had in his office, but in some way that this kid is not also caused to clam up or rethink the thing. Remember, he's the one who had the story that it was really all North End kids, the same kids they've been having trouble with for the last 3 years, and when they've had summer programs down here that he's been involved in. It is now 9:30 in the morning, Saturday. I've just had a phone call from Mel Reef. Mel says that by the sheerest chance, as he left here last night, he ran into John Lee Johnson. They apparently talked for 2 hours, and Mel sketched to John the necessity for something giving on the side of the guilty blacks being brought to justice. He hasn't given me any details yet, except to say that John Johnson saw that. He could understand that. He also apparently learned a lot about Dave Addison's psychology at this point from John. Anyway, whatever John thinks about Dave. He said they had some discussion, really, about Stevie Jackson, that John was very concerned about him, but he could see where something had to give. Naturally, he was very concerned about whether the chancellor really would be able to, I mean, if the guilty people were turned over, whether the chancellor still would be able to do something for the innocent. That obviously, well, I won't make any editorial comment except to say that I'm going to try to persuade Mel to put on the tape, and whether or not this will be a tape available to me or not, I don't know yet, but I'm going to try to persuade him to put on tape everything he can remember. In the meantime, he's calling William Williams and informing him of where we are, and that is, I suppose, all that we need to put on this at this point.